The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, aka Mr. PVD MVP, and welcome to episode number 159. And my guest that's coming on here today is a man that's got a lot in common with me, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what's been going on with yours truly. Well, I haven't been in Columbus much the last couple of weeks. I've been going back and forth between Columbus and Eastern Ohio because my brother is moving out of state, and so I've been going back there to help him pack up his house and load up things and whatnot, doing what family does, help each other out. So that's where I have been, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm very excited now to bring you episode 159. As I mentioned, the man that is coming on to talk to me shares something in common with me. That is that we are two giant G.I. Joe nerds. Dan Noble is coming on the podcast. And who is Dan Noble? Well, he is the executive officer of the Central Defense's Fighting Fifth Garrison, a member of the Finest, a G.I. Joe costume club. Now, the Finest do a lot of great work. Not only are they a costume club or a cosplay group, if you want to call them that, but they give a lot of money to the community and to various charities that they raise throughout their con season. Whenever they're going to a comic book convention or pop culture convention, they're dressed in their G.I. Joe costume, and they raise money for some great groups such as the USO, the Wounded Warrior Project, Canines for Warriors. So, they have a mission, they want to give back to the community, and they want to merge that with their love of costuming or cosplay. And so Dan was nice enough to hit me up after meeting him down at Wizard World Columbus. And so we sat down via Google Hangouts and talked about G.I. Joe, what we love about the toys, what we love about the movies, or maybe not love, what we love about the comics, the cartoons, and of course talk about all the great things that the Finest is doing to help the community, as well as talk about the history of the Finest. So with that being said, before we get into my conversation with Dan, let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, there are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. If you're interested in costuming or cosplay, I guarantee you they have a book about it on Audible's site. So all you got to do to download your free audiobook today is to go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast for your free audiobook. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say yo, Joe, and we'll be back with Dan Noble on the other side of this break talking about G.I. Joe and the Finest, a G.I. Joe costume club. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here this evening with Dan Noble. Dan, you are a member of the Finest, and you are a member of the Central Defense, the Fighting Fifth here in the Midwest. So before we get too far along, could you describe to the listeners what is the Finest?
Okay, the Finest is a G.I. Joe costuming group, right? Now, maybe some of your listeners have heard of the 501st Legion. What they do for Star Wars, we kind of do for G.I. Joe, except we're better at it, we're sexier, and we're better dancers.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's pretty much what the finest is. And also, in addition to us doing our costuming thing, we're also, you know, a charitable organization.
Right. We'll talk a little bit about that there. But I had to ask here real quick before we go too far along. I don't know if you're like me, but last week while watching the news, I thoroughly enjoyed and giggled like an 8-year-old John would do at the idea that we are going to copy G.I. Joe and maybe have a Space Force.
A Space Force, right? Like we're going to launch the USS Defiant.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and actually, in addition to being a G.I. Joe nerd, I'm also a Warhammer 40K nerd. And the memes were like instant. Like maybe an hour after he mentioned that, there were already, you know, Warhammer 40K memes about the Space Force on the internet. So
I couldn't stop myself. There were lots of G.I. Joe memes that I was creating and sending out to friends because sure. I could not stop myself. I mean, you know, Payload and Hardtop, they don't get enough love.
Right, you know? Right. And, you know, you already have Ninja Force and Night Force and Tiger Force. So why not Space Force, right?
That's right. When are we going to start? When is Trump going to get us Slaughter's Marauders?
Right,
that's what
right.
I want to know.
Right. You know, too far ahead of ourselves, but I was just at JoeCon this past weekend, and the theme of JoeCon was Slaughter's Marauders versus Python Patrol. So there was plenty of Slaughter's Marauders walking around JoeCon.
Yes. How was JoeCon, by the way? We'll go ahead and just jump on into that because it was this past weekend down in Chattanooga. How was it?
Correct. It was pretty awesome, to be honest with you. It was the finest. We actually, I'm okay to say this now, since it's been made public. We raised the most money we've ever raised at a convention ever. Last year at JoeCon, we raised about $1,200. We matched that in the first 6 hours of the first day this time, and we totaled $4,040 for our charity. So it worked out pretty good. It was pretty amazing. The stuff you see there, you never see anywhere else, like the super awesome dioramas, the customs you never see anywhere else. You know, of course, Larry Hama was there, so that was awesome. I got my picture with Larry. World Burglar was there. He actually did a concert on Thursday night. He's the Rap Viper. I don't know if you've heard of that, but he does like...
I have not, but I'll be looking that up.
Yeah, go to YouTube and look up World Burglar. He does really awesome, like, G.I. Joe-themed raps. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, and there was, like, a bunch of Hasbro people there, and, you know, they had their exclusives. And they had a Python Patrol themed snake armor. It was one of the exclusives, which was pretty awesome. So yeah, it was pretty great. You know, I've got a lot of the people that, you know, from other garrisons that I don't ever get to see. A lot of those guys were there, you know, and there's, you know, a lot of people from the Central Defense were there. It was just a good time. There's probably a finest numbers. There's probably maybe 80 to 100 of us there. So it worked out pretty good.
That is excellent. That is excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit about the finest. It is not just in the Midwest. I mean, you have garrisons literally all around the world.
Correct. We have Action Force 44. That's kind of a play on the Action Force comics, which were the European version. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're over there in the UK. We also have, you know, we have squads, say, in basically, I'm going to say a long thing, but the long and short of it is we have roughly 350 members in 6 countries is what it amounts to.
Okay. All right. So originally, the finest began in 2007.
Correct.
And originally, it was kind of a joke about Cobra because it was actually the club was called Cobra's Finest,
sure.
if I recall.
Yep. Correct.
And it was around 2013 that the organization was renamed the Finest, a G.I. Joe Costume Club, mm-hmm. and created an organizational structure.
Sure.
And I was really taken back by that because I'm not so sure how many other. I guess you could call them fandom clubs, and I don't know if that's the right word, but that's what I'm going to use. How many of them have like a full-blown charter and an organizational structure that is set up like the Finest?
I see. I'm not really a bit expert on the others, but I know the 501st Legion has one. The Mandalorian Mercs, obviously, the Rebel Alliance, and the Droid Builders, which are all the Star Wars ones. Now, I would imagine also the Ghostbusters one, which is a big thing. I'd imagine they're big enough to have one too. And I think there's a Judge Dredd one that also is probably big enough mm-hmm. to have one. But yeah, we definitely have, you know, a charter and like we have, you know, a ton of bylaws and like we have like an organizational structure where we have, you know, our XO and our commanding officer. And then we have the individual leaders of the garrisons, et cetera. So yeah, we have, it's pretty, it's pretty hierarchical and it's pretty organized the way we do it there.
What is your position in the finest in the Central Defense?
I am the executive officer of the Central Defense. And just so the listeners know, the Central Defense encompasses Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio.
Okay. What are some of your responsibilities and duties?
Basically, what I do is I help out the commanding officer with getting swag, we call it, which is merchandise for the booth. And we don't really sell anything. We give things away in exchange for donations to our charity. So we come up with various posters, and we just came out with dog tags, and we also have like buttons. And I also also coordinate with people who run conventions. I talk to them and see if we can secure charity booths. And I also coordinate which members are going to go to each event. And I'm also responsible for taking our Believe it or not, running a charity booth at a convention, it's not just a matter of, showing up. You got to like kind of set up a little booth. And so I'm responsible for, bringing stuff into the booth and setting it up. So,
okay. Yeah. So a lot of duties there in your responsibilities there as you are the commanding officer or the executive officer?
I'm the executive officer.
Okay. Executive officer. I didn't want to get those.
Which was the fancy way of saying lackey, basically. So.
And the Finest is totally nonprofit.
Correct.
And your main goal is to obviously raise awareness of various different community issues and charities and whatnot. Yep. You've worked for the USO, the Wounded Warrior Project, and Canines for Warriors.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And you've raised a lot of money. In fact, just recently, I think that I read in doing some research that you guys raised quite a bit of money for Canines for Warriors. Could you explain what that program is?
I sure can. Canines for Warriors is probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest charities of all time. What they do is they take dogs from shelters and they save them, which is awesome to start with. And then they train them to be working animals, and which is, that's no small task there in itself. They train them to be working animals, and then they pair them with veterans with PTSD or cranial injuries or some other, debilitating thing that they've received in the line of their service, right? So the way we look at it is you're saving two lives at once. You're saving the dog's life, and you're saving the veteran's life. And who doesn't like dogs to start with, right? And we're, like you said, the USO and the Wounded Warrior Project, it was just a natural extension that we go ahead and go to the military style charities. And this is a way to combine our love of dogs with also helping out veterans. And a lot of our members are veterans themselves. The commanding officer of my garrison actually was in the Navy for 6 years. He was in the nuclear program. Pretty much all of my brothers and sisters were in the military. So it's our kind of way of giving back.
Yeah. And I think that's fantastic, too, to give back, especially to those fine, brave folks who, are out there putting their lives on the line to protect us and our freedom. So
sure.
It's a great thing.
And just a quick side note, it's last year we raised $16,000 for Canines for Warriors. And this year we're on track to just absolutely destroy that number. Our garrison last year, we raised $3,200 total. This year, and we're probably maybe a third of the way through con season, just our little garrison has raised $4,700 already. We've already beat last year, and we have two-thirds of the con season to go.
Oh, that's an excellent, what's the word I'm looking for? Excellent way to start off and be halfway through the con season and raising that much money. That's great, man. Sure. That is great. So how could one join the Finest?
The Finest, what you want to do is you just go to thefinestcc.com. And there's a whole enlistment tab there. You just click on that. And basically what it amounts to is they're going to want reference pictures. So if you, like, say you wanted to play Chuckles, right? You want to do a cosplay of Chuckles.
Oh, wait, stop, Dan. Yes. Why did you have to bring up Chuckles?
Well, hey, Chuckles is awesome, man. All right.
Okay. We will agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, so let's say you want to do Chuckles, right? Just pulling one out of the blue, right? So you get your Hawaiian shirt and you get your little holster and you get your little blonde wig and you go ahead and you go on to the Finest and they have a little recruitment link there and you send in your reference photos. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be Chuckles. I mean, there's plenty of G.I. Joe figures to choose from. But the reason why I mentioned Chuckles is because at JoeCon, we had what we called Chuckles Power Hour, and we had like 30 people cosplaying Chuckles. just roaming around like in a big mob. So it's pretty cool. But just to get back to the recruiting thing, what you do is you submit your reference pictures. And we have what's called the command staff, which consists of our the larger group commanding officer, the larger group executive officer, all of the commanding officers of the garrisons, and our recruiting officer and our propaganda officer. They're all in what's called the command staff, and they vote on whether or not you can be accepted into the group. And even if they say, even if it's a no, what they'll do is they'll say, well, you know, you might need to tighten this up a little bit, or get a better holster, or, you know, get a different pair of boots, or change the collar of this. You know, they'll give you pointers on what it is you need to change. And I can tell you this, we are in no way as strict as some of the other costume groups. But we are pretty strict because we do want to maintain a standard. That's the whole reason for the voting. You know, we don't just want anybody, you know, throwing on, you know, an army jacket and saying, well, okay, I'm footloose. And then, you know, they're allowed into the group. So, and that's, you know, it's no disparaging anybody. We just want, like I said, we want to maintain a standard.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk a little bit about the character that you have chosen to portray.
Okay.
Would you like to tell the listeners what character you've chosen?
Sure. Now, when I originally wanted to do cosplay, my first thought was I was going to do a stormtrooper, a TK, and I was going to join the 501st Legion. So, but then I realized that you have two options. You can spend $2,000 and wait about 16 months for something from Inovos, or you can spend $700 on a kit, which I would inevitably ruin with my awful crafting skill. So what I chose was a Cobra Trooper, right? Your basic Cobra Trooper. And you can go on the finest, you can go either go to thefinestcc.com or you can go to their Facebook page and look in their notes. And what they have is field manuals for some of the more common Cobra stuff, like the Cobra Trooper, the Cobra Officer, the Cobra Femme Trooper, the Cobra Viper, the Cobra Crimson Guard, to name a few. And you go through, and they tell you suggestions. They give you a framework of what to buy and how to put it together to make your costume. That's pretty much what I did. So I spent some money, and I you know, did my research, and I, you know, it probably took me a couple of weeks to get it all together. But then I sent in my submission photos, and I was in.
You know, you mentioned a vocabulary term that I was going to ask, because I know that the organization is called the Finest G.I. Joe Costume Club, but you threw out the word cosplay. Are those words synonymous? Costume club and cosplay? Or is that like, is maybe that's something you shouldn't say? You shouldn't say cosplay.
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on who you ask. Some people, I don't really care, but some people get a little testy because they think cosplay connotes a little kid doing their stuff, and they think costuming is the more adult version. To me, they're pretty much interchangeable.
Okay. So. Okay. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about G.I. Joe in general.
Okay.
So what do you love about G.I. Joe? Talk to me a little bit about the history that you have with that fantastic toy and that universe that was created by Larry Hama in Marvel Comics and Hasbro.
Sure. Now, okay. Well, first of all, I love that you mentioned Larry Hama. I mean, I've met the man a couple times, and he's an awesome story. He's an amazing artist, super nice guy. But basically, I'm a child of the 80s, right? So I'm pretty much Voltron, Thundercats, Transformers, He-Man, all that type of stuff is right up my alley, right? And especially G.I. Joe. So, you know, after school, you know, I'd have the half hour of Transformers and then the half hour of G.I. Joe right after. So I was pretty much enthralled with it from an early age. And then, you know, I got into the comic books. And, of course, I had a ton of the toys. And I was always just drawn. And actually, this is really weird. I'm drawn to the evil stuff on pretty much all, like the Decepticons or, you know, Mumm-Ra or the Drool Empire for Voltron. I'm just drawn to the evil because to me they have the cooler looking stuff. So for instance, if I had to choose between the Sky Striker or the Rattler, I would choose the Rattler because it just looks awesome.
Yeah, and it's a vertical takeoff.
Right,
too.
Right. Yeah, VTOL. So, yeah, and it's also based on the A-10 Warthog. So it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Who are some of your favorite G.I. Joes?
I would have, as far as Joes go, I would probably say, Bazooka. And cause I always liked the dynamic between Bazooka and Alpine.
Yes.
So
yes.
That was always like a fun thing. And, I'm also a fan of Iceberg, just because like the dichotomy of, you know, where he was originally from and he doesn't like the heat, which is pretty good. So, and I'm a fan of the female G.I. Joes too. Which is your Lady J cover girl and Scarlet. So those are always some of my favorites. But as far as G.I. Joe goes, now Cobra, on the other hand, of course, I'm a fan of the Trooper. I'm also a fan of the Battle Android Trooper. And
My
favorite thing about the bat was in the cartoon, of course, nobody could ever hit another human being. But when the Battle Android Troopers came out, all of a sudden G.I. Joe were expert marksmen and they could, you know, destroy hundreds of bats with no problem.
And you know what? You're absolutely correct on that. And I think even as a little kid, because I got a couple of years on you. I was born in 75, so I wasn't a kid of the 80s, you know. But even as a child, I was like, no one ever in the cartoon dies.
Right.
And that always kind of made me a little bit sour on the cartoon. Like, I liked it, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I really, really thoroughly enjoyed.
Sure.
I enjoyed the comics so much more.
Yeah. They would definitely make sure to show you the people parachuting out of the shot down planes. They would definitely make sure to show that every single time. And you know, there were reasons for that too, obviously.
Right.
I was talking about the Battle Android Trooper, the founder of the Finest. Is a gentleman from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he actually has a really awesome Battle Android Trooper cosplay that he does. And he was at the San Diego Comic-Con, and it was so popular that the fire department had to have him move a couple of times because he was causing like huge backups of people like just surrounding him taking pictures.
That is really cool.
So it was pretty cool. And just to finish out my list of Cobra characters
I
like, I'm also a fan of the Baroness, because who's not a fan of the Baroness?
That's right.
And also Destro and the Crimson Twins.
Okay. My favorites, if I may share. Sure. For some odd reason, I loved Gung-Ho.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because, nothing wrong with Gung-Ho.
Yeah, there was just something. In fact, I liked him so much. I remember as a kid, I went to a 4th of July picnic, the family 4th of July picnic, wearing camouflage pants, a vest, and a camouflage hat.
Right.
That's right. No shirt underneath.
I was going to say, you just don't like button up your shirt. That's probably what it is, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it was about him. But Gung-Ho was a favorite of mine. In terms of Cobra, Destro and the Baroness were my favorites. Sure. Because it just seemed like Destro got shit done. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like Cobra Commander, especially in the cartoons, would fiddle and fart around and not actually do anything. But you needed stuff done. You know, it was Destro, you know. He got stuff done. So I was a big fan of him. I enjoyed Mutt and Junkyard.
Right.
You know, there was something about those two that I really dug in regards to the figures. And, of course, being a complete wrestling nerd, I love Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. Shockingly, he's pretty popular in our group as well.
Oh, yes. I saw several Sergeant Slaughter cosplays at Wizard World a few weeks ago.
You're talking about Wizard World Columbus?
Yes, Wizard World Columbus. Yes,
I think that's where we met up there. Yeah, one of those guys. He's in our garrison. He is from Ohio. He's from I think Wilmington. Does that sound right? It's near Cincinnati. And
yes, Wilmington would be down that way. Yeah,
and the other guy is not affiliated with us, but he had a really good Sergeant Slaughter. So.
Yeah, there was a couple. There was two that I thought were really good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's maybe go to the other end of G.I. Joe. Who were some of your least favorite G.I. Joes? Because there were some lame G.I. Joes, all right? And I with all due respect, I could never stand Chuckles.
Yeah.
So that was why I groaned at that one.
For sure.
I hated Chuckles, but
To me, probably my least favorite character was Lifeline. And because he had the whole, like, I'm a pacifist thing, but, like, his figure, he's got a Colt 45, like, right in his hand on the art. And also, he had that whole episode where, like, the rich girl was trying to buy him a bunch of presents, and he kept getting annoyed by it. I'm like, what? What is wrong with you? Some rich girl is lavishing presents on you, and you're mad about it? What? I mean, come on, dude. And so they're
lame.
Yeah, right. So there's Lifeline. And probably my least favorite Cobra character, and I'm probably going to get guff for this, is Serpentor. And the reason why is because he has to say "this I command" after everything he says, which is super annoying to me. I like the story behind it. I just don't like the "this I command."
I think for me, I really didn't have a least favorite Cobra, but I would say Dr. Mindbender was kind of weird.
Sure.
And I didn't dig him too much. But just Chuckles really annoyed the piss out of me, because I just was like, you're the undercover operative. What are you? You're going undercover at a luau. What are you doing?
Right
you're
on,
just
right?
Like, yeah,
that's,
you know,
that's casual right there.
It is casual Friday every day for Chuckles,
right.
I suppose.
sure.
So were you? You were a big fan of the comics.
I was a big fan of the comics, and just when I was at when I was at JoeCon just recently, I had a couple of the original Marvel runs with me, and I got Larry to sign them for me. And the whole reason I did that was because we wanted to give them away as for donations to our charity. So, and Larry is really cool about signing, you know, whatever you put in front of him. Now, what I wanted to get signed was issue number 27, which is the infamous Ace versus Wild Weasel issue. And basically, basically the whole issue, it's like one of the super famous ones. The whole issue is the basically a dogfight between the Rattler and the Skystriker. So I wanted to get that one signed, but the person who had our stuff, we got kind of mixed up and he got left in Indiana, so I didn't get a chance to get that signed. But I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of the silent issue. You know, with the,
oh, of course.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
That's a big one. The unmasking issue is another big one.
I remember the silent issue blew my mind,
right?
Because you learned that there was a connection between Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
Right, exactly.
Because of the tattoo.
Right.
And it was like, what?
Yeah, Clanner Sakagi, right? And then, like, that's inspired I don't know how many tattoos, right?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. So, as far as, like, the newer comics goes, I'm not really a big fan of IDW comics because of some of their – they like to inject a little bit of their own politics into the comic books, which I'm not a fan of. If I want to read a comic book, I'm going to read it to escape politics.
Yes.
So I don't really need it, you know, to be preached at in my comics. So, but, I mean, they do have some good stuff in there. But, I mean, the stuff that Larry Hama was involved with, obviously, is good. But
yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. I haven't read too much of the IDW stuff. I've been collecting it and reading it very, very slowly. And I thought that the Devil's Due did a fantastic job.
Yeah, Devil's Due.
They
do an amazing job. And, in fact, I believe it was Devil's Due who had the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover that happened in World War II.
Well, I believe you're correct. Yeah.
And it was like super duper dark too. Like all the tones of the comic was super dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now my only issue with that was that they kind of like they weren't really consistent with the alternate modes. Like they would change what vehicle, say Megatron was around a couple of times within the run of that series. But I mean, other than that, it was a really good series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always liked the comics. Again, as a kid, I thought the comics were more realistic because people argued and people died. And,
sure.
You know, I remember when Snake Eyes' friend, the name is Quinn, the Eskimo guy, when he died, I was like, I was really sad. I was like, whoa, this guy died.
Right.
And I remember, you know, they set him off on the canoe and that. And yeah, to me, it was more fascinating and more complicated, you know.
Sure. I mean, there always has to be that element of, you know, potential danger to make it more realistic, right?
Right.
Now they tried to, as far as Sunbow television shows go, they tried to kill off the character and it did not go over too well when they killed off Optimus Prime.
Right.
Which is why the original cut of the G.I. Joe animated movie, Duke dies, but he in the later revamped one, he just goes into a coma after he gets hit by Mr. Pentor. So,
yeah, you know what? Actually, real quickly, I just the other day was at a Half Price Books and I just stumbled across. And I did not have it. Issue one of Special Missions.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too. And another series that's really, really good is the Order of Battle series, like the old Marvel Order. And basically, that's where you have like the file cards inside.
Oh yeah. I have those.
Yeah,
those are
awesome. And that, you know, they'll have like, the file cards, the vehicles, and whatnot. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, those are great. But I knew I didn't have issue one because I think I did not collect Special Missions as regularly as the regular G.I. Joe book.
Sure.
So my collection is very spotty at best. But I was happy to pick that one up. Well, let's talk about the two Hollywood movies, if you will.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, and G.I. Joe, Retaliation?
You know, a lot of the members, we accept modern stuff like that into the group. Like, if you want to do something from Retaliation or Rise of Cobra, that we accept those into the group. But I'm just not really a fan of the modern stuff. And maybe I've heard this term bandied about quite a bit, blinded by nostalgia. Where you look at things with rose-colored glasses from your youth. But I don't know. To me, it's just not the same as, like, you know, the stuff that I grew up with. I mean, it maybe the stuff I grew up with is cartoony, and maybe it's a little over the top. But I don't know. To me, it's got a lot more heart than, you know, some, like, super slick and glamorous, you know, Hollywood thing that they have. Like, that whole thing where they had, like, the ninjas running around on the mountains. I was like, what is this? You know?
You know, the funniest part is that I've never seen Retaliation because I hated Rise of Cobra so much I refused to see Retaliation.
Well, there you go. We're right on the same page with that, and I feel the same way. And I'll just throw this out there. I feel the same way about the Transformers live action movies.
So. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. The first one was okay, and then the rest of them they're just kind of like all the same. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, to me, my biggest gripe was for G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra. You can tinker with things. I didn't have a problem with that, but you basically rewrote the whole mythology, and that's where I did have a huge problem with it. So. Sure. Well, I think we probably, and I'm just going to warn the listeners here, we're going to talk a little bit about the toys that made us, because I'm sure, Dan, you've seen the G.I. Joe episode.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't seen it, you know, just look in the show notes. I'll tell you where to stop and where to pick up, because I don't want to ruin anything for folks. I assume everybody's seen it, but I know, you know, some people maybe haven't. But, Dan, did you enjoy the episode of Toys That Made Us on G.I. Joe?
Yeah, I did. And just speaking of that series in general, there is a really, like, and I hate to get off topic here a little bit, but there's a really weird instance in the Masters of the Universe episode. If you pause it at a certain time, in the background behind this lady is it's what looks like a cross between a beach chair and a blow up doll. And I don't get what the hell is going on there. But like somebody pointed out to me, like, oh, what the hell is this?
I saw it and then I was fascinated by it because I watched the Barbie episode too.
Sure.
Which was fantastic. I mean,
agreed.
I didn't even want to watch it. I'm like, I watched the other three, and I'm like, oh, you know what? To be a completist, I'm going to watch it. And I was glued to my TV.
Sure.
Those two people were complete lunatics.
Right. And they're apparently, I've seen pictures of the staff that did the Toys That Made Us, and they're posing in Japan, and they're all holding up the number three. So I would assume that means there's going to be a third season of it.
Okay, well, because I think that they've left out some toys. I really do. That
totally agree.
That should be mentioned,
like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for instance.
Yes. So. Look, Cabbage Patch Kids. That's an iconic toy. You know, I know they rolled Migos kind of into the Star Trek episode, so that's fine. But I mean, even My Little Pony is an iconic toy.
Huge iconic toy.
Yeah. So I think there's plenty more. I mean, they could do a whole episode on the various different wrestling figures that have come out. Like you could group them all together. And so I hope so. I thoroughly enjoyed that whole series, except for Hello Kitty was a little lackluster.
I tell you what, though, you mentioned the wrestling figures. I hope if they do that, they include the muscle figures.
Oh, yeah.
You're not talking about the little pink guys?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember those as a kid. Yeah. But back to the G.I. Joe episode real quick, since we got a little off topic there. But I thought it was fascinating. Did you learn anything new from it that you did not know?
Not really. I mean, like, if you're, like, a super G.I. Joe nerd, you pretty much have already, you know, realized all that stuff. But I mean, for like the layperson, that show was like super duper informative.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I guess for me, because I didn't pay attention, it was the amount of money that they made.
Oh yeah,
you know, I didn't pay attention to that, and I think they've done that in pretty much every episode, how much money those toys have made. And I always find that fascinating, because you just think, my god,
right,
that now, amount of money.
Now, an interesting story about a G.I. Joe character, the original, the Baroness, right? That was kind of a Larry Hama idea. Mm-hmm. And Larry was like, hey, you know, I want to put this woman in out as a character. And I want it to, because like all the Cobras, you know, they have masks over their face. So there's no expression, right? And I want to be able to draw facial expression. And people were like a little bit leery of his idea. They're like, well, there's no way little boys are going to want, you know, a little girl action figure, right? And he was like, yeah, just trust me, it'll be okay. And then it turned out to be the highest selling figure when it came out. So so I mean, like, because little 12-year-old boys in a girl in, you know, tight leather costume,
yeah, that's gonna sell
rocket
some
science,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Or Lady J, who apparently was missing buttons on her blouse.
She has an eternal war against the top button.
She does. You know, funny story about Lady J. Do you know any information about her code name? Because there's always been this rumor that has circulated around as to the code name Lady J is a British slang term for vagina.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Have you heard that
rumor
too? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not 100% sure if that's true or not.
Well,
but,
I will share a story that at a comic book convention in Pittsburgh, I went to the G.I. Joe panel that Josh Blaylock and the guys from Devil's Due did. And I asked them that after their panel. I went up to them and was talking to them. I said, is there any truth to that? And they almost pissed themselves laughing. In fact, like, people were coming over and Josh Blair like, hey, this guy right here. And I was like, okay, don't draw any more attention to me. So yeah, this guy here, guess what he just said? And he told like a couple different people and they all started laughing. I was like, okay, anyway,
that's so awesome.
I don't know if there's any truth, because he said he had never heard that before, but I've heard that lots of times.
Yeah, you see, as a Transformers fan, and Transformers is kind of my first love, which is why I keep bringing it up here. As a Transformers fan, I got to kind of, you know, pay Lady J a little bit of respect, because there's a prominent human character in Transformers, Marissa Fairborn, and she is the daughter of Lady J in Flint.
What? Cool. Yeah. I did not know that. I learned something.
Yeah, huh. she's in the Five Faces of Darkness, which is kind of like towards the back end of the Transformers series.
Okay.
But she's on like the Earth Defense Force. She's like the redhead.
Okay.
But and you can, if you cosplayer, it counts as G.I. Joe and or Transformers. So. and the current commanding officer of our group actually does a really good cosplay. So it's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, you know what? Here's got a couple more questions for you, Dan. Here's one that, since we've talked a little bit about Sergeant Slaughter, what were your opinions on the other quote special guests, end quotes, that were G.I. Joes? Like, for an example, William the Refrigerator Perry.
Refrigerator Perry, right. You know, I'm a fan, right? Like, I like the fact that, you know, they brought in actual people, and I also like that, you know, the Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, the only thing I didn't really like about Sergeant Slaughter is his little, like, Sergeant Slaughter, like, special tank. I mean, this doesn't make any sense that they would make, like, a special tank just for one guy. But right. I guess he's such a tough guy. They got scared and they made him a tank, I guess. But yeah, I was a fan of that, and, like, also the refrigerator. I mean, like, if you're going to, like, say that, hey, this is ridiculous, don't collect G.I. Joe, because, I mean, there's a guy with a baseball gun can.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean. So, but yeah, I was a fan of those, the special celebrities, and just like if you go to a convention, a G.I. Joe convention or a toy convention, you can pretty much find a lot of other genres brought into G.I. Joe. Like at JoeCon recently, I keep bringing that up because I'm just going to pimp it because it was the last one. There was a Soundwave crossover battle android trooper there.
Really?
Yes, and it was totally awesome.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah, it was really awesome, and there was there's also like the toys. Like I've seen a Rambo G.I. Joe, and I've also seen an Indiana Jones G.I. Joe, and I've also seen the A-Team all done as G.I. Joe.
See, I was going to mention that because I know that, you know, John Rambo was supposed to be the third celebrity that they were going to have, quote unquote, I guess you could say celebrity. But yet I forget if it's 20th Century Fox or whoever owns the copyright to that character sent a cease and desist to
Hasbro. Rights.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think he's advertised in one of those Order of Battles.
He is.
Yeah. I think it's the third one, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, it's in one of those that he's, All right, Dan, I have to ask the question there. As a G.I. Joe fan, did you have the USS flag?
I did not have the USS flag.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people, like whenever people mention the flag, you know, everybody always knew some kid who was the rich kid that had the flag, right?
Yes.
But I never had it, and I go to a lot of conventions. I've seen it on sale. And, you know, I've also seen just the railing from the flag on eBay for like $100, because that's the part that always like breaks or gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did not have the flag. I didn't have USS Defiant. Probably the biggest thing that I had was just a regular Sky Striker.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. I had the Sky Striker. I also had the base. I had the pit. Sure.
Pit. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably the biggest for me. I did have a friend whose little brother had the USS flag, and I kid you not, like, I knew it was huge because in their basement was the rec room, and they literally had it on a coffee table, and when company would come over, they would just throw a big giant white sheet over top of it, and people would pretend like it's not there. I'm like, it's a giant it's the USS flag, people.
Right.
Yeah, so.
It's a big aircraft carrier, right?
It's a giant aircraft carrier where you could fit two Sky Strikers on it, so.
Now I originally, like, I saw it when I was a wee little kid. You said you had a couple years on me. You don't have that. I was born in 78, so
okay,
not like super amount of years on me, but I saw it at a Sears one time. It was just on display. I was like, oh my God, that's the greatest thing ever. And my mom just looked at me and says, don't even think about it.
Yeah, so, same here. Same here.
Too expensive.
Yeah, yeah. But I, you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm sure you'll agree with me. There was nothing more enjoyable than for me to have all my G.I. Joes scattered throughout the house on a rainy Saturday and just going from room to room playing G.I. Joe.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Like little ambushes and little, you know, drop from like zip lines and all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, all right. Well, Dan, real quickly, I kind of overlooked one thing when we were talking about all the great things that the Finest is doing. You had a recent article in Frontline Magazine, which is, of course, the publication affiliated with the Finest. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about your article?
Yeah, sure. There is a really great guy named Johnny in our group, and he's the propaganda officer. And he sent me a line and he said, hey, man, I'm putting together another Frontline because I think I'm in issue number 2. And Johnny says, hey, would you mind writing me up an article? So I say, hey, no problem. Just feel free to edit it or whatever, or, you know, don't use it or whatever. And you're going to break my heart. So I wrote up an article about all the conventions I've been to and all the people I've met and my experience as like a newer member, because I've only been in the group for about 18 months now. So,
but
yeah, I just wanted to let people see from like a new member's perspective. Cause there are people in the group now who've been there for like 7-8 years. So I just wanted to let them know what it looks like to me as far as like, but I was told, I'll say this. I was told to, what was it? The words exactly they used, blunt any knives that I might have. Blunt any daggers is what they said. Blunt any daggers you might have. But I didn't really have to. I mean, it's all, you know, a good group. So
yeah, yeah. Oh well, where is Frontline Magazine, by the way, available at? Is it available through the Finest, or
it is available as one of the notes on the Finest? I don't believe it exists in physical form.
Oh, so it's all electronic, like PDF or whatnot.
It is indeed a digital file, and I think you can find it just by going to the Finest Facebook page and going to the notes, and you'll just find it right on there.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to start wrapping things up here. The website for The Finest, as you've mentioned, is, of course, www.thefinestcc.com. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter at TheFinestCC. Dan, where can folks find you on social media?
Sure. You can find me on I run the largest Thundercracker fan site on the Facebook. So if you type in Thundercracker and you see the one with 47,000 likes, that's me.
Okay.
And also, you can find me on Cobra Trooper. That's got about almost 1,000 likes. That has all my like crazy cosplay misadventures as the Cobra Trooper, and probably when I'm setting up a Vic Rattlehead cosplay from Megadeth, their mascot. That's gonna be my next cosplay, and I'll probably do some stuff on there for that. And also, our garrison is the Fightin' Fifth, the Central Defense. So if you look at up the Central Defense, you'll find us there. And we are in the middle of what we call the Dogs of War Summer Tour, where we're going to do a whole bunch of conventions, and we're going to, you know, have booze there and collect money for charity.
What are some of those conventions, if I may ask real quick?
You know what? Let me just read a couple of them off here for
sure.
you. So I just don't want to get them wrong. I just want to let me get into this. I just happen to be right in front of my computer, shockingly, as we speak here. So let me open up this file here. We're almost there. And look at this event tracker. Okay. So we will be at LaffyCon, which is in Lafayette, Indiana. We'll be at Incon Junction. We'll be at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, the Kentuckiana G.I. Joe Toy Expo. We'll be at Gen Con, which is the really big role-playing game one. We'll be at Michigan Comic Con. We'll be at the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, Columbus Toy and Game Show, Cincinnati Comic Expo. I'll just name a couple more of the big ones here, because we've got a bunch of them. Grand Rapids Comic Con. Louisville Supercon and Chicago Pop Culture Con, and also Wizard World Chicago will be there too.
Wow, you have a full schedule, you guys.
Yeah, there's about 20 more to go.
Okay, you're gonna put a lot of miles on the car, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, or now, the tank if you're Sergeant Slaughter.
Now sometimes I'm not gonna be at all of these, mm-hmm. but you know, members of our garrison will be all like some of the Michigan ones I won't be at, because I try to stay out of Michigan whenever possible. But I will be at the Grand Rapids Comic Con. So.
Okay, yeah. So you kind of have a rotation as to who's going to attend and work the con, so to speak.
Pretty much. Now, me and the CEO of the garrison, Ryan, we're probably the most active, mm-hmm. but like we do like to get other people involved. And you know, when we did Free Comic Book Day, we actually did Free Comic Book Day in three comic book stores in three states. So that worked out pretty good.
Cool. Well, Dan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it so much. Is there anything else you want to let the listeners know about real quick before we wrap up?
Yeah, if you see us at a convention, you know, feel free to come on up, take a picture with us. Those are always complimentary. We also have our trading cards. If you want to pick up one of those are all complimentary. They have a picture of the cosplayer on the front, and then on the back it'll have the old school style file card with everything you never wanted to know about the cosplayer. And if the cosplayer is there, they'll sign it for you. You know, they're collectible. And if you're really awesome like me, you'll have all of them. And also, take a look at our charity and take a look at the swag that we have for our charity. And just have fun. You know, if you see one of us, just give us a Cobra salute or, you know, yo, Joe.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So keep your eyes out at the next comic book convention or special convention that you might be at. You might see one of the members of the Finest, including Dan himself.
Right on.
All right, Dan, thank you very much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Hail Cobra.
And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Dan Noble. I'm sure you're probably had your fill of G.I. Joe with this episode, but what can I say? He's a fan, I'm a fan, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to mention real quick that there will not be a new episode of the PVD Cast next week on July 5th. I'm going to take a week off. Number one, I believe that with the 4th of July being on Wednesday, that not a lot of people will be listening. And also, number two, I got a few things I want to upgrade here with the PVD Cast. As you know, I'm an independent podcaster. No one taught me how to do this. I'm DIY, if you will. And so there's a couple of things I'd like to tweak. And so I figure that next week would be an appropriate time, or an opportune time is what I meant to say, or tried to say, to kind of tweak a few things. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'll let you know if those tweaks are successful or not. But definitely, I thank you for listening. And don't forget, you can get in touch with me a variety of different ways. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter, PVDMVP. You can even shoot me a message on Facebook just by going to facebook.com/PVDcast, which is, of course, the Facebook page for this beloved podcast. And don't forget, you could tell your friends and your family that they can get the PVD Cast either at pvdcast.com or through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, or even the Podcast Agogo Network. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wish you all well. Have a safe 4th of July. Have a fun 4th of July. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll chat with each and every one of you in about 2 weeks. So until then, stay righteous, stay independent.